Ms. Knoll, reel 5.
Was anybody on duty then?
Not actually walking the wards. As I say, we were so near. It was one corridor and with a door that divided. And all they had to do was for somebody out of the ward to come hammer on the door. Most of them were all right to sleep the night.
And you spent most of your time in the surgery?
Yes.
That had been the milk room?
Yes.
What did your day involve in the surgery?
7:30, I used to appear there and give it a second sweep and a clean up, and then I used to get the instruments out and boil them in this fish kettle to sterilise them, and then put them into all the various dishes and so forth, and get out all the dressing drums and all the bottles, get it ready for sister for after breakfast. And then after that, all these men came for their dressings. And then before lunch, I had it all to clear up. I used to help with the dressings, then have it all to clear up. Then I had to wash the bandages, which were not cut off as they are today. I wasn't allowed to drop them on the floor as I got called over the coals. And then I washed them and I boiled them for ever so long.
Were you able to get them quite clean?
Yes, it was hard work. Messy work, too, very often. Of course, the very bad ones you didn't do, they were thrown out. Anything that was useful, but you could imagine one, they'd trailed about the floor in them, what they were like. And then I boiled them. And then they had to be hung out to dry or put in these ovens that I referred to before. And then I had to roll them and put them all away, send them for sterilisation, lot of them. Then I had all the dressings to cut. I was responsible for cutting all the gauze and the lint and the wool up and filling the drums to go to be sterilised.
Is there a particular technique to that?
Well, they were cut to different sizes and folded in particular ways and then filled in these drums which went into... I don't know quite how they did sterilise them, because I wasn't in at that. I handed them over to be done.
How large were the drums?
Some were round, quite like big biscuit tins. Some were upright.
I'd say a foot across?
Yes, something like that. And then there were some upright ones that were square. They weren't so big, they'd probably be used in the evening session when there weren't so many dressings.
What were they made of?
They were chromium plated, I suppose, or at least they look chromium plated. It'd be steel, I suppose.
You said you had to get the instruments ready. What sort of instruments were being used?
Forceps of various kinds, probes, scalpels, scissors, various shapes and sizes.
Were there tubes used?
Oh yes, tubes, yes, I've forgotten about those, the rubber tubes, yes. Safety pins that went in them, stop them being lost on the external sort of bodies. Mm-hmm. I think that's mounted to the instruments.
Did you have to wash the tubes after they'd been used so they could be reused?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What was that like?
Not very pleasant. And hypodermic syringes, of course, I've forgotten them. They had to be boiled. One had to remember one had to put them in cold water first to bring them up, otherwise they went bang. One learnt by one's experience. Sister, this has gone bang. Why? Did you put it in hot water? I'm afraid I did. But never, never, never.
It took you up to midday with just the dressings.
Yes. Well, then we had 2 hours off in the afternoon, usually. And then in the evening, I did all this packing of these drums and that sort of thing. And of course I had the surgery to clean, look after the shelves and all that sort of thing.
Could you sit down on duty in the surgery if you were doing something like...
Oh yes, I used to cut these dressings sitting down, and I used to sit down to roll the bandages with a roller thing. That was the difference between being in that sort of a hospital and being under that matron at Nottingham. I worked long hours at Welbeck. We started early in the morning and we didn't finish until supper time. But one could sit to do certain jobs. It wasn't so hard going. One funny little thing that used to go on, matron always used to, before supper in the men's dining room, she used to hold a little tiny service. She read a little of the Bible and one hymn and one or two prayers. And this, we generally had one pianist of sorts amongst the patients, and they played the hymn. And sometimes a VAD, the one that I slept with, she was rather a clever violinist, and she sometimes played her fiddle. But what matron never seemed to see was that she was always choosing a hymn that had a line in it, the matron and the maid. And it was usually when matron was going to play the hymn. And, of course, a giggle went round all the patients at the idea of matron and the maid. The matron and this VAD fiddling away. She never saw it, but we did.
What was your matron at Welbeck like?
She was quite nice. Quite a nice person. Rather on the nervous and shy side. Just apt to shuffle away and leave sister to it. But she was quite human. She had a dog, which was, I don't know, some of the patients liked it and some didn't. But we always knew when she was coming, because the dog always seemed to come first, so we always said, Mate was coming.
She was not presumably as formidable?
Oh no, nothing like. Much more reasonable. And much more pleasant to be with.
What do you think makes the difference between a happy hospital like Welbeck and an unhappy one like Nottingham?
Well, I think the matron has a lot to do with it because it goes from the top to the bottom. See, those sisters, they're frightfully hard in that ward in Nottingham. As I say, you went from one trolley to the other and just got yapped at that they wouldn't part with things that were wanted. Well, that was rather the type of a matron. It went from one to the next. And it rather went to the down the whole row because the newcomers went for their lunch late, always. And you were so starving by the time you got your lunch from early morning that really, I mean, it was hard to get about. You were so hungry. It was never twiddled round so that they had a reverse of it. Oh, no. We were more a family, I think, at Welbeck. One helped the other. It was a happy time, really, although it was a war on. We were quite happy. Quite likely, because in those days, you see, we were very sort of sheltered. It wasn't like it is today. They might not have minded so much if I'd worked from home, perhaps. I don't know. But they got used to the idea.
Did either you or the men find it embarrassing?
No. We were there to do a job. We didn't think about it, we just got on with it.
In any of the hospitals that you were in, did any men that you had known before ever tell?
Yes. One or two from Nottingham appeared. Quite a few from the ward at Nottingham turned up. Quite pleased to see me there. That's rather nice when they followed on. It was very interesting to see what they all did in life, the different things, the walks of life that they'd come from. Find one helping you in marvellous ways. Oh, well, he'd been saying to you for doing such a thing that you were doing. Very nice. Very nice crowd.
How did you hear about the armistice?
I remember being where I was. I think they knew Abby very much earlier than we would have done otherwise. For one thing, they had a line from London, from the Abbey to London. They didn't have to go through exchange. They picked up the telephone in London. And I think they had very, very early on, so they aren't it eked through to this then. And while the equipment, we had a lovely little in this in the prime. We were out to into the cities in the prime. All this state, I suppose. We service, and we were off. All were able to hobble in for the evening service on Armistice Night. And it really was rather lovely. And we had a bit of a down ballroom and a ballroom. Those were at around the mountain. We had a fresh mission. It was a very happy evening. But I do remember that in the afternoon, we heard about lunchtime, Armistice, because in the afternoon, we also got in the men went in this gas bag and nine friends rather dreadful to go back. We passed a collection of Germans that they were going home back to from their work, and our men were really rather naughty. They did rather his rather sorry for them. But Sister Sherbitten lunch and going out in the afternoon. They were marvellous.
Well, then the only trouble was the war was over, but there were a lot of soldiers who still would not go home for some time.
Oh,
did that have a psychological effect on them? Did they find that depressing?
Yes, long. Oh, yes. And it was amazing how you are, if you know of the long tricks to stay in. Very, then some of them, the Duchess took to her home in Scotland. I remember them setting off. What happened to them afterwards, I don't know. The considerable elongation of their convalescent treatment up there. Very good.
Besides those prisoners you passed on Armistice Day, did you ever have any other contacts with Germans?
No. There was a band of them that worked on the estate somewhere in the fields, and just occasionally one just came across them when you were walking.
Did they ever speak to you?
No.
Had you known any Germans before the war?
No, I had a German mistress at the school.
Was she German?
Yes, they had a German woman and a French woman. I was a complete dud of languages. I didn't have very much contact. Sort of not. The pass out of the hospital. Do you think that would be interesting?
Yes. Was that for Nottingham jail?
Yes. At Nottingham, you could not get past the porter, I suppose he was. You could leave the hospital for your tour off without a pass. And it stated what time you were to go out and what time you were to come in. And that happened every time you went out.
And did the porter actually check it?
Oh, yes.
And what happened if you were late?
I don't think anybody dared to be late. It was very strange. I don't think there was anything else. Should we just look at the pictures, and then if anything came?
Yes, please. I should like to. What about that gas bag?
Oh.
What had that been in? Had that previous in?
Just a letter, you see. These were from a school thing, nailed to the floor of it. And then there was a rope from there to there to stop you literally falling out round the corners.
And that could hold about a few. 12?
Almost, because they were long forms, they'd get about five on a form. I also remember that the day that I went to Welbeck, this thing came to Creswell Station to meet me, and we had a few of these covered events on, because they always got on us if they could. And the VAD came also to greet me. And I don't know whether the uniformer has a loose belt with two buttons, but they had them. And when the VAD and myself came to get out, the people behind had managed to slip the button undone and wind it round the back of the bar. I mean, neither of us could move. That was my entrance into Welbeck. But you see, this thing was, when they had petrol, it was used like that. But when I first went there, there wasn't the petrol, and they had these uprights put on, and a roof, and on top of it, this enormous calico bag affair, which was full of gas, and used to wobble about. I should think handicapped the driving, I don't know. But I just sort of tried to sketch out the idea. You can imagine it stuck up on that. This is taken outside in the Theatre Royal Nottingham at the very end when some of them are taken to the theatre. Look at the old car. That was the Duchess's private, beautiful car.